Welcome to episode 69. I'm Stuart McCullough. I'm the CEO of VHAA. And starting with this week's industrial roundup, and in particular with community health, which continues its way through a year of intense bargaining. With respect to Health and Allied, now that we have reached agreement in principle with the HWU, we're looking to expedite the drafting process. We anticipate having the first draft to the Health Workers Union on the 29th of June. In addition, we'll be posting that draft on the VHAA community app so that it's available to members at the same time. We're then scheduled to meet with the HWU to work through any drafting issues on the 11th of July. With regards to the MSAV, who cover dietitians, psychologists, pharmacists and audiologists and others, we are currently have a proposal out to members for their review and comment. The parties are getting closer to reaching agreement in principle. Thanks to those members who have provided their feedback already, and we welcome any additional feedback from community health members. With respect to allied health professionals, members will have read the most recent update from the last scheduled meeting between VAPA and ourselves at the Fair Work Commission. We are also conducting groups to assist members who are experiencing some industrial action. In terms of our health service members, we've been continuing our EBA member forums for the two doctors' agreements, that is the Doctors in Training and Medical Specialists Agreement. This week we are in Bendigo and then in Shepparton. We have further sessions scheduled for Warrnambool and Eastern Health at Box Hill. The key items to come up so far include clinical support time for specialists, the 10-hour break for doctors in training, overtime arrangements and fixed-term contracts. We'll add these issues to our list of implementation matters. We'll be reporting on those through the implementation tracker with the monthly IR report, and we'll undertake additional activities to support the implementation of those issues. In other matters, we also have a dental reference group meeting on Monday, bargaining for biomedical engineers on Tuesday. The Nurses and Midwives OH&S group meets on Wednesday. Our Workplace Relations Strategy Committee meets on Thursday, and our board meets on Friday. Those members of the Metro HR IR Managers Group will receive their IR report this week, but as always, all of our activities are summarised through the VHAA community app. And that's it for this week's Industrial Roundup. Don't call it a comeback. Welcome to the weekly update, where we go in depth with a particular subject. And joining me for this week's discussion is Senior Workplace Relations Consultant Daniel Pullen. Welcome, Daniel.
Thank you, Stuart.
Daniel, would you be good enough to reveal the clue for this week's subject for discussion?
Of course.
So you might need to hold that one up for the camera. And for the benefit of those people who are listening to this podcast rather than watching, could you describe the object?
It is a book, a colouring and activity book, titled Bun Bees, Wrap Colouring, an Activity Book.
Now, is this your copy?
It's definitely not.
I found it around the office. It is a colouring book. It does feature a lot of famous rappers. If I do have any criticism, it's a fantastic book, but it doesn't really feature enough members of the Wu-Tang Clan. So hopefully the Wu-Tang Clan have their own book. But what it does include is rappers like Juicy J, LL Cool J, Notorious B.I.G., B.O.B. and Ice-T. Which leads us to our subject for today, which is...
They're getting more obscure, Stuart. It's getting more difficult. I'm going to have to say it's...
I think you're struggling.
I'm really struggling.
Unlike a rapper, you have completely lost your flow. So given that we're talking about Juicy J, LL Cool J, Notorious B.I.G., B.O.B. and Ice-T, that inevitably leads us to SDPPWG, everyone's favourite hip-hop collective. So we'll be talking about the Service Delivery Partnership Plan, particularly as it pertains to the doctor's agreements.
I can see the link now. It's abundantly clear. Again.
Oh, indeed. Daniel, in terms of those people who may not be familiar with the concept of a Service Delivery Partnership Plan, or as the guys in the colouring in book might say, the SDPPWG, Can you describe a little bit about the process for the SDPPWG?
Of course. So the Victorian Government Wages Policy and Enterprise Bargaining Framework assures a salary increase of 2.5% per annum over the life of each agreement. There is an opportunity to achieve an additional 0.5% per annum over the life of the agreement, where financially sustainable service delivery improvements can be found.
So it's linked to the wages outcome?
Correct. So a service delivery partnership plan is prescribed in each of our new agreements in our sector, and it contains both common sector-wide items and specific items that are unique to that professional cohort.
So we're going to be talking today about the service delivery partnership plan that's specific to doctors. Mm-hmm. But there are some common items across the health sector agreements. If members want to find out more information about those common sector-wide SDPPWG items, where can they look for those items?
So those audience members who have been involved in other agreements this round would recall that we have a podcast detailing the common service delivery partnership plan items that are across the sector, and those are available at episode 44.
That number again?
Episode 44.
So let's begin with the Service Delivery Partnership Plan in terms of what's unique to doctors. Notwithstanding that these have some unique features for doctors, there is some commonality between the SDPPWG for both the doctors and training and medical specialists. What do both those agreements have in common in this space?
So due to the nature of their work, doctors within the Victorian Public Health Service tend to move employers frequently, or have engagements across multiple employers. These arrangements result in a degree of duplication, with respect to credentialing, onboarding and training. So the parties have sought to address this.
So how were these addressed?
So the Service Delivery Partnership Plan for both agreements requires collaboration between the parties through the Service Delivery Partnership Plan Working Group to reduce duplication of training and promote the recognition of training across health services, monitor onboarding and credentialing practices, implement electronic onboarding through that process, and identify opportunities for common application requirements. Sorry, Stuart, are you listening?
Sorry, Daniel, I'm riveted. But I've also completed this picture of LL Cool J. I understand there was an item of claim from the AMA to address concurrent long service leave, especially for VMOs. Just to give that some background in terms of what that means, that is how to apply long service leave entitlements for VMOs who are working at more than one place at one time. That's an item that we've always certainly resisted, but I understand that will be addressed and discussed through the SDPPWG process.
So that's correct. So the Service Delivery Partnership Plan for both the Doctors in Training and the Medical Specialist Agreement prescribes that the parties will, over the life of the agreement, collaboratively address the accommodation of long service leave arrangements for doctors employed by two or more health services concurrently.
In terms of those items that are common across doctors in training and medical specialists, I understand there's also some common work with respect to fatigue.
There is. So members would recall from our discussions through previous podcasts and through reviewing the agreement itself that the parties have sought to address some safe work and OH&S matters that arise out of the work performed by both doctors in training and medical specialists. The Service Delivery Partnership Plan will require the establishment of a fatigue management review. The terms of reference will be agreed between the parties within 6 months of the agreement coming into effect.
It's really interesting to hear that in terms of fatigue, and that I think it's going to be a theme, and I know it's been considered through other processes, including the OH&S Working Group for Nurses and Midwives. Mm. So definitely a theme for our sector that we'll be talking a lot more about in coming years. Moving from those common items to items that are specific to medical specialists, the priority item for review concerns pre-existing entitlements under the savings clause. We've talked a little bit during our EBA forums about the 2013 savings provision, which is a very, very tough read, which has been restated in the new agreement so that the bar remains where it was, that the ambiguity associated with that clause has led to a lot of disputes, and the purpose of some kind of process to remove that ambiguity.
That's correct. So the parties conducted preliminary work through the late stages of bargaining to identify employment entitlements that have continued application by virtue of Clause 6 of the current Medical Specialist Agreement. The parties have agreed to establish a joint working party to review the pre-2013 collective agreements to be concluded within the first 6 months of this agreement commencing in operation.
And just with respect to the proposal for a manager's allowance, which the parties did discuss during negotiations, what's the process associated with the manager's allowance?
So following consultation with our reference group, the parties agreed on descriptors and principles that encompass managerial roles and responsibilities within the medical specialist cohort. These descriptors and principles are prescribed at Schedule E of the Medical Specialist Agreement. But the role of the Service Delivery Partnership Plan Working Group will be to review the existing monetary benefits provided to medical specialists who perform managerial roles and responsibilities within the scope of those prescribed in Schedule E.
One of the other items that is specific for medical specialists concerns actual paid rates. And one of the interesting features of the negotiation is that we had those competing and indeed contradictory claims for wages, claims for interstate parity without identifying a relevant state, claims for compensation for changes to FBT, which is a different principle, and then requests for actual rates or some sort of internal unit parity. But one of the items that has made it to the SDPPWG process is that consideration about paid rates. What will happen there?
So there'll be a joint working party established to undertake a review of the rates of pay and other conditions with a view to identify conditions that more accurately reflect the current practice and a method to move the current paper rates to actual or market rates for full-time medical specialists.
All right, so that's going to be an extremely complex task. Involving unpicking all sorts of different arrangements as such, but in order to develop a collective rate. It'll be interesting to see how that process goes.
And we'd need to engage very closely with our members with respect to that collaboration and that approach for this process, yeah.
I also understand that there is a provision in the SDPPWG for medical specialists around flexible employment arrangements.
Yes, so look, members will recognise that, again, the medical specialist agreement lacks a genuine part-time employment clause. The proposed agreement does facilitate genuine part-time employment following a period of parental leave, but not outside those arrangements.
And with respect to moving to doctors and training, one of the AMA's major claims concerned fixed-term contracts, and in particular a claim to abolish one-year contracts in favour of a minimum two-year contract. Part of the reasoning for that claim was to deal with some of the gender equity issues. The problem with that claim was that it reduced the frequency of the issue rather than eliminate it. But nevertheless, we'll be talking about two-year contracts also.
That's correct. So the AMA sought the abolition of one-year contracts. We engaged closer with our reference group and were able to identify substantial challenges with their approach. We made other changes to the agreement, as you mentioned, to address some of the AMA's concerns with respect to the interaction between parental and other leave types with contracts and service continuity. But the Service Delivery Partnership Plan Working Group will establish a joint working party, which is comprised of representatives from both VHIA, health services, and the AMA in the department to identify how and when two-year contracts can be accommodated within the existing classification structure.
One of the questions we sometimes get is how people can be involved in those processes. So in that particular example, the working party will involve representatives from health services.
Correct.
Probably worth emphasising two other things, one of which is the reference group will continue to operate.
That's correct.
And will be a means by which we interact, the SDPPWG interacts with that reference group, but also through the app. All those SDPPWG meetings will be summarised through the app, and people are welcome to and encouraged to give their feedback on any item that's being discussed in that forum.
Correct.
So just in terms of those contracts, if there is an agreed outcome with respect to how and when two-year minimum contracts can be accommodated within the existing classification structure, when would that be implemented?
So the parties have committed to implementing two-year contracts at the earliest opportunity, and will do so during the life of the agreement as to the extent possible.
It's interesting. So no specific date, earliest opportunity to the extent possible.
Correct.
And I understand that the Service Delivery Partnership Plan Working Group also has an overarching role for doctors at training and specifically with training time.
They do. So the Service Delivery Partnership Plan Working Group will have the role of monitoring the proper implementation of the training time clause for registrars.
It's interesting, when it's put in the context of monitoring, it sounds quite overbearing, but really it's about making sure that the clause operates as intended. So I understand that there's also a claim with respect to flexibility and job share, and that some health services have established practices. Does the service delivery partnership plan prescribe arrangements for this?
It does. So the parties will collaborate and develop guidelines to assist employers in facilitating genuine job share arrangements for doctors in training.
It's interesting that in terms of an implementation issue, for those who aren't familiar with this process, what we'll be doing is identifying implementation issues. They'll be reported on in our implementation tracker as we develop additional materials so that people can see what additional materials have been produced to support that implementation process. So I guess the key messages for me is that there are ongoing processes, that the Service Delivery Partnership Plan working groups, that those processes will be reported on as they go in real time through the VHA community app, that existing consultation structures, including the reference group, will be maintained throughout that process, and we welcome ongoing feedback.
You really were listening.
I was listening. It's not impossible to colour in LL Cool J effectively, as well as taking in all the things that you were putting to me. Daniel, thank you so much for taking me through the SDPPWG provisions for the doctors in training and medical specialists. I think as a reward, you should select which wrapper you'd like to colour in from Bunbee's wrap colouring and activity book.
I would love to colour in Tupac Shakur.
You know, somehow I knew you'd say it. Daniel, over to you.
Thank you, Stuart.